Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
When I said that I'd be faithful, when I promised I'd be true, when I swore that I could never be with anyone but you, when I told you that I loved you with those tender words I spoke, I was only kidding. Now can't you take a joke? When I said that I need you, baby, when I told you that I really care.
Matt, this is the one of the most interesting ones for us to talk about, in the sense of we've hinted at this a few times already. This song was not supposed to be on this album.
That's right.
I Was Only Kidding was recorded in 1992 to be on Alapalooza. So one of the original songs that he had written to be on this album, assumedly in this same position, would have been Waffle King. However, as Al was starting to write these songs for Alapalooza, he became concerned that some of the jokes in I Was Only Kidding might be dated by the time the next album was finally released. Specifically, a line referencing the movie Wayne's World, which is where he says, "I really love you." Not. So he put I Was Only Kidding on this and then held off on Waffle King, that ended up being both a B-side to Smells Like Nirvana as well as on the Alapalooza release.
There's a, just to expand on that slightly, because I found an actual quote of Al talking about this on his forum from back in the day. And he summarizes a little bit at the end that I think is really worth getting in his words. So because someone asks him why Waffle King wound up as the B-side to Smells Like Nirvana, which we talked about at the time. Yeah. It was a non-album B-side, which at this point I think is pretty unusual for him. It might be the first one even. And they asked him why, and he said, "Okay, I think this is what happened. I had already written the originals for Alapalooza by the time we were finishing Off the Deep End. One of those originals was I Was Only Kidding, and I was rightly concerned that the line, 'I really love you, not,' would be about as funny as 'Where's the Beef' by the time 1993 rolled around. Since there's a ceiling on the number of songs I can put on an album, I decided to record I Was Only Kidding and save Waffle King for the next album. And I put Waffle King on the flip side of Smells Like Nirvana single, just in case there wasn't going to be a next album. You never know in this business."
Yep, I think that's fair. Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing to think about, again, just for me even, the idea that at this point Al is actually making records with the mentality, maybe this is the last time I ever do this, which I think in show business is something you need to always keep in mind, although at this point it seems beyond comprehension that Al could be like not making, like that someone would drop him.
Yeah,
it seems crazy, but it was a real threat, I guess, at that moment in time for him.
I want to draw up another thing here. Now, we talked about this in Trigger Happy a little bit, but like, I still push back on the fact that the Beach Boys and potentially looking at Pancreas as Brian Wilson is enough of a division of sound, and like it could, or even just looking at two completely different eras of a band. This, I believe, is the only time that he has done a style parody of a band that is pretty much the same that the, that like this Tony OK from a little bit that I know never had like a different era of being Tony OK.
Like, well, uh-oh. I think that's probably true. So for people who don't know, this is a style parody of an artist named Tony OK, who I was only really familiar with as a name I heard connected to Al.
Yep.
The other Tony OK style parody that Al did goes all the way back to album one with the song Happy Birthday.
Yep.
And we talked about Tonio on that episode, but at that point, I knew very, very, very little.
Have you become an aficionado since that day?
Certainly not an aficionado, but I have done some research and I've looked into him, and he is a fascinating guy because he makes these records. So if you, especially now, if you're familiar enough with Al, if you think about Happy Birthday and this song side by side, you can definitely hear the similarity here.
Yeah.
There's this sort of unhinged
snark.
It's
to
like,
it. Like,
yeah, it's fun and it's like peppy and hooky, but also aggressive and like very like punk rock in its delivery, like almost like an unhinged like Ramones song.
Yeah.
So this is also interesting because, okay, so Tony OK has a song called Hatred, but spelled out H-A-T-R-E-D.
Okay.
This song is as close to just being a straight parody of that song as you can possibly get without it being that.
Okay.
Now I know it's not unusual. It's nothing so unique. There's probably hundreds of wonderful love affairs that go bad in this town every week. It's a big town, but all of them others, them sad-hearted lovers, could cry in their beer what they hate. It didn't concern me, was none of my business. I never had nothing to say. But suddenly, darling, the table has turned. You have left me for somebody new. And now it's hard to express the resentment I feel for the years that I've wasted on you. But let me kind of put this another way, okay?
I ain't tried, I know it's not unusual. This something so unique. That's probably hundreds of wonderful.
So far, up until this point, I've never heard an Al style parody that is this close to an actual singular other song you can reference.
But I guess it's such an abstract song to mainstream middle America, it didn't even make sense to say, oh, so this is a parody of this song that you've probably never heard of, but I love very much.
This is the thing, right? It's like when Al does a parody, when Al is choosing to parody a song, in order for it has to be notable enough that you have to know what he's parodying, right? If you don't know the reference, it's funny because we've talked about before how we've heard some Al parodies before the original, but the intent of what he is trying to accomplish, at least at the surface, is that you have to recognize what he's destroying. You have to recognize what he is altering.
Yeah.
So that it lands the way that he has intended it to, because that's the whole point of doing a parody. He's not trying to steal a catchy song and put other lyrics over it and trick you. You know what I mean? So he must parody songs that have pop culture
relevance.
Yeah. Relevance, exactly, and that you're going to know. I know we're coming up to it. Albuquerque is another great example of this. Albuquerque is a style parody of a group called the Rugburns, but there is a Rugburns song that you can listen to that is basically Albuquerque.
Yeah.
It's damn close. It is damn close. And I think the reason why it is classed as a style parody and not a straight parody is the reason I just described, which is that to do a parody of a song that no one's ever heard before is just not part of what Al is trying to say as an artist who's commenting on pop culture. But a part of me listened to this and thought, like, if I were Tony OK, I would be like, well, I'm flattered, but also,
where's my writing credit?
I mean, like, maybe I should have been given a writing credit for this song. I mean, my understanding is that they're very good friends. Same with Al and the Rugburns. And if anything, Al is shining a light on
them. Yeah.
Artists who are very obtuse and obscure otherwise. The chord progression changes a little bit, but in terms of the form, the very pretty, sincere intro, and then suddenly the, like, crash in with the full punk rock delivery, like, it is, the form of the song is identical.
So
it's amazing.
So here's a thing that I never thought about with this song until I looked it up in Seriously Al, because this is going to, guys, you're going to get sick of hearing me say this, but I think from now on I am going to just, before we do each song, just see if they have an essay in there about that song and read a little bit. And in that particular book, Lily points out, and I never thought about it in this frame, but I wrote the quote, in this song, the phrase "I was only kidding" is presented in a passive-aggressive way, almost as if the offender is trying to accuse the victim by playing victim himself. And when you look at that song through that lens, this is another one of those songs where this character that Al is singing as is very sadistic. This is like a gaslight anthem.
Gaslighting. I wrote that down. I wrote that down. That's what this song is. This is someone gaslighting their partner. I mean, yeah, no, talk about a heavy subject matter to get into on this show. There is a reading of this song, a literal reading of words on a page that is like, ooh, this is not funny at
no.
all.
No. and I want to highlight the opening, right? So he says, when I said that I'd be faithful, when I promised I'd be true, when I swore that I could never be with anyone but you, when I told you that I loved you with those tender words I spoke, I was only kidding. Now can't you take a joke? And then like the drums kick in and it gets all crazy. The production of like the choir and the oohs and the whole choir coming in on the I was only kidding. Like it's like it is a religious moment to kick off this song. It
amazing.
Is amazing, so good. And then yeah, this song from a musical standpoint, which I think again, like you're saying, credit mostly goes to Tony Okay. This song fucking rules. Like this
it's
song
great.
The guitar never stops. There is I would say that this song exists without guitar chords, but is instead just an extended crazy guitar solo lead that is just playing underneath everything that's happening. Like the guitar never stops moving up and down the fret.
No. It is just a, I always love, I don't know if this was a real thing. Well, he's matching Tony Okay, so probably not. But this to me feels like one of those songs where the official tempo should be as fast as we can do it.
Yeah.
Literally as fast as, like, it is just so frantic, the energy of this song.
So let me ask you this question, because you've definitely dug a little bit deeper into Tony Okay than I have at this point. Although I really did like Tony Okay when I did some research for Happy Birthday. How comparable would you put Tony Okay with Dead Kennedys? Because I feel like this reminds me a lot of a Dead Kennedy song simultaneously.
So it has some of that vibe for sure, yeah. I mean, the thing that's interesting about him is he just has, you can totally appreciate why Al likes him so much, because he does have a sense of humor in what he does. It's this very, like, fast punk rock or, like, post-punk approach with some serious comedy and some, like, an odd perspective on every front, like written into the lyrics of these tracks. So yeah, I can definitely see Dead Kennedys for sure.
Even has a little bit of a Jello vocal to what he's doing, especially you're so gullible.
Like, you're so gullible. Like, yeah, exactly. Which is very close to the original. I would like to read, because this is another fun thing. So if you listen to the Tony Okay track,
this
is funny because his song, again, it is called Hatred.
And this is kidding about being in love.
Exactly. And Al's version of I Was Only Kidding almost could be applied to the lyrics of Tony Okay's song.
Okay.
Like as if he's responding to the Tony Okay track in some way. The chorus of Tony's, and it's funny, as I read these, I'm going to try to read it in the cadence of Al's song because it's, you can really hear it. The chorus of Tony Okay's song. I'm full of H-A-T-R-E-D. I'm bitter and maligned. You've got me P-I-S-S-E-D off. I'm angry most of the time. Why don't you G-O-T-O-H-E-L-L, you tramp, you philandering bitch. I'm going to K-I-L-L, one of us, baby. Give me time and I'll decide on which.
Holy
Oof.
Shit.
Oof. And that is the chorus. The verses, if you want to explore these lyrics yourself, go down that road. But man, this is a gnarly song. But of course, starts with the same, like the intro, the very gentle, pretty verse that his starts with. You know, he does like, I know it's not unusual. It's nothing so unique. There's probably hundreds of wonderful love affairs that go bad in this town every week. It's a big town, but all of them others, them sad-hearted lovers could cry in their beer. What the hey? It didn't concern me. None of my business. I had nothing to say. But suddenly, darling, the table had turned. You left me for somebody new. And now it's hard to express the resentment I feel for the years that I've wasted on you. But let me kind of put this another way. Okay? And then it cracks into the super nasty, really mean lyrics. So the sentiment is almost the same. Like, he's really, like, a more gentle approach.
It's two sides of the same coin. And I almost think that they complement each other even further because... Yeah. Towards the end of the song, which is something that I don't think I ever fully pieced together, he is pleading for his life. at the end of this song while still sticking to his guns that he was only kidding. And he, and I mean, look, if this isn't the fucking gaslight anthem,
the gaslight anthem. Wow. What a thing to describe the song as. I love that.
I was just fooling around. You see, I never meant to upset you, darling. I never meant to hurt anyone. I was only kidding. That is absolutely what she described in her book. That is victim blaming. He is trying to be like, why are you 100%. Making me feel bad when this was so clearly me joking? But then it goes into, I was only kidding, baby. Why don't you put down that gun? Let's talk it over. I was only kidding. Watch where you're pointing that thing. Hey, I'm sorry if your heart is broken. You've got to realize I was only kidding. Honey, can't you take a joke? Please. I was only kidding.
It's funny, too, because in the Tony OK song, it's clearly structured as the jilted lover. Like, this person was cheated on, and now this is their,
that's
like,
what I'm saying.
How angry
I
am
feel
I at
like
you?
This,
yeah, and
this is almost
Al's
a
version by
response.
Comparison is, like, yeah, no, this person, as best we can tell in the song, did nothing.
Yeah.
Like, Al is just like, surprise, our whole relationship is a lie.
91 Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power, but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
Tony OK, to go to one more thing. So he made a few solo records with some incredible, like, the bands. Like, he did an album produced by T-Bone Burnett. He has albums featuring guests like Paul Westerberg and Booker T. Jones, Los Lobos. He did an entire album with Mark Rebo playing guitar, who actually I a little bit know Mark Rebo, and I really want to reach out to him and talk to him about Tony OK now. He made a few records. It never really took off, but he was signed to major labels. These were real albums really getting put out. I think it was on Arista Records for a long time.
All right.
He started writing for other people. He wrote a song called Love Is that was recorded by Brian McKnight featuring Vanessa Williams.
Jesus.
And when I tell you, go ahead, look it up. It sounds like a Brian McKnight song, and certainly not like the guy who wrote the lyrics I just read to you a few minutes ago. And in fact, funny enough, apparently Tony OK said he wrote that song, and originally he thought it should be sung by Tom Waits. The song Love Is.
Oh.
And instead it got given to Brian McKnight, and Tony O was like, oh, well, okay, I guess that's fine.
I mean,
it turned into an R&B pop ballad.
You and I have definitely talked about Tom Waits before. I could see that, though. I could see a Brian. I could honestly see you take any R&B love song and give it to Tom Waits, and I bet it makes sense.
Like, it makes sense.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like, he writes such sad love songs. I think you and I were texting the one day where I was saying, like, my favorite song by him barely even has lyrics, and it's Picture in a Frame, which is like,
great
that
song.
Whole song's built on like four lyrics. But it's the way in which those four lyrics are expressed over and over and over again that makes it like a truly heartbreaking song. Tony OK, Tom Waits as a collaboration, I feel like I would love to.
I know, apparently it didn't happen. Yeah. That was the idea there, and instead it went to Brian McKnight. I recommend people listen to that song just as a contrast to this, because it's fascinating. A couple other I noted that you might know, because this I was amazed to see. Tony OK also wrote, with Charlie Sexton, the song Graceland, that is in the opening credits to True Romance.
Ooh.
That's a Tony OK song. And he wrote a song called Nobody Lives Without Love that was performed by a woman named Eddie Reader and was featured in the movie Batman Forever.
Oh, all right. Well, then.
Like, he's had a really solid career, it seems like, and he's had just enough success that he's, like, kind of kept going and stuck it out all this time. But these solo records that he made that Al was so inspired by, unfortunately, it seems like that was a pretty short-lived thing for him, and then he just wound up writing for other people. But I would recommend, I have not, like, I did a lot of research on him. I've listened to a good chunk of it. I think those records are definitely worth some research for Al fans. There's the album Life in the Food Chain, which features Hatred, which I've mentioned here, and which goes all the way back to 1978, by the way. And then an album called Romeo Unchained that was a big push. 86 came out on A&M Records.
Is that the one with the Western Civilization song that had like somewhat of a single push?
I think that's also Life in the Food Chain, actually. I think both of those, both of the songs Al is referencing are that very first Tony Yoke record from 78. But it looks like 86, that Romeo Unchained album was the closest he came to actually having some real success of his own. You can tell, like, if you look at the list of albums, like, he put out an album on Epic Records, didn't do well enough. Then he moved to Arista Record, didn't do very well enough. Then he moved to Universal Record, didn't do well enough. Then he moves to A&M. Like, that's clearly, all these labels must have been like, this guy's super talented. How can we make him successful? And no one could quite
figure it out. No one could crack the code.
Reminds me of Sparks, actually.
Yeah.
A band that just never could find a solid enough footing, and they just had to keep bouncing from place to place.
I want to very quickly make a reference here.
Yeah.
We've talked about the influence of Al TV and how it probably greatly affected comedy troupes like The State. And The State has made, I would say there's like three movies that could officially be called State movies in the sense of you have almost every single member of The State appearing in the movie. Wet Hot American Summer. Technically, the Reno 911 movie has all 11 members in it, but right smack in the middle is a very underappreciated sketch film called The 10.
The 10. I was hoping you were going to... I've assumed you were building up to that.
Yeah,
but yes,
building up to
so
this.
Good.
I Was Only Kidding immediately makes me think of Ken Marino playing the doctor who killed a patient as a goof.
That's right.
That's just as a little goof.
That's a great observation, Matt. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Yes.
One thing that I am not going to goof about is where I'm going to rank I Was Only Kidding on my list. The starting point that I have here is that I think that this is better than his other Tony Yoke song, Happy Birthday. So I'm starting at that point, and I'm moving upwards, and I feel like this is one where it's going higher than I would have originally imagined. Okay, I think I found my spot. I'm going to plop this kind of right smack in the middle, above Mr. Popeil, but below Don't Wear Those Shoes. I really like I Was Only Kidding, but I think that that Kinks energy of Don't Wear Those Shoes, I just like a tiny bit more. This means that my top and bottom are still pretty much left unaffected. This Is the Life at number 5, Nature Trail to Hell at 4, Melanie at 3, Dare to Be Stupid at 2, and UHF at 1. And then riding out the bottom from best to worst, That Boy Could Dance, Buy Me a Condo, Such a Groovy Guy, Buckingham Blues, and Got a Boogie.
Respect. I think I'm actually going to put this in a very, very similar spot. And I'm going to put it in the middle, actually probably slightly towards the bottom half of the middle. But again, please don't think the wrong thing here. We're just getting to a place where these are getting harder and harder. Like, great songs are just falling to the middle because there are too many great songs. I'm going to put it just below Generic Blues and just above Twister.
Just above Twister. So yeah, again, your top five and bottom five unaffected at this point in time.
Top five, bottom five unaffected. I will happily run them down for you, our fine listeners, which is that my number one is UHF, number two, Dare to Be Stupid, number three is Melanie, four is Nature Trail to Hell, and five is Good Old Days. Bottom five, from I Like It the Most to I Like It the Least, Cable TV, Let Me Be Your Hog, One of Those Days, Such a Groovy Guy, Buckingham Blues. As I see it here, I'm actually thinking, like, I don't know why, like, One of Those Days and this song feel like they have a similar spot for me, but this is just a much better version of it. Yeah. I don't know why. Just as sort of, like, feels like, as much as we just said this is all this Tony Yoke stuff, at its core, musically, some part of this just feels like a very just rock and roll track. Like, it's not too specific a reference, at least not for me, as someone who didn't grow up knowing Tony Yoke. Like, I know Devo or the B-52s or Talking Heads or any of these other bands that Al will reference as a style parody. So it feels more like just an original song to me, as One of Those Days feels. But this is great. I mean, it's so aggressive and so fun to listen to. I totally agree. I mean, it's definitely ranked significantly higher on my list as well. Better than Happy Birthday. Al is just getting better at what he does at this point. I love the fact that he hit Tony Yoke twice. I think that does say a lot about how much we should consider Tony Yoke in our evaluation of Al. I've been enjoying listening to him. I would strongly recommend, as I said earlier, for people to check out his records, because there's definitely, you can see a lot of what Al took in there.
All right. Perfect. Perfect. Love it. Looking forward to talking about more of the albums off of Off the Deep End. But first, you know, we got to get to the white stuff. We got to get to the New Kids on the Block. So stay tuned next week for more of that.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.